To the brightest audience in the country, welcome to Bob Binyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. A quarter of a century ago, Bob Binyart Live was on in 80 cities around the country, from Honolulu to Orlando, Florida. And Real Science Radio was really just a gleam in our eye. We would do science shows now and then. Well, one of our most popular science series is the Heat Series. During the global flood, the things that happen, critics say that the Earth would have overheated. So we recently did a series on that. And in the very beginning, I was with a mechanical engineer, Brian Nickel, and I said that Tommy Stills from Etna Green, Indiana, asked us, could we answer the heat objections of the global flood? And I said, what Tommy wants, Tommy gets. And so now in studio, what an honor to have Tommy Stills here. Tommy, this is the first time I've ever interviewed you.
It's the first, and I'm glad to be here, Bob.
Well, I'm thrilled that you and your brother Jack drove out from Indiana to work on yet another full-length science video. But Tommy, I'd love for you and I to reminisce, go back a quarter of a century ago. Bob Binyart Live was also on TV and radio, out of South Bend, Indiana, just right near Notre Dame.
Oh, my, that's going way back. What was that, 2000s?
Oh, no, 1990s.
I didn't want to give that up.
The 1990s, mid-90s, right?
Yeah, 95 to 97, I think.
So why don't we talk about how we met, and then I'd love the audience to realize the producer behind our big videos, the global flood, the Big Bang, then there was the battle at the palace, Bob Binyart versus Dr. James White on Is the Future Settled or Open? And now the brand new video we're working on, The Age of the Earth, and then so many other videos. But how is it that we met originally?
Oh, my. Well, let's see. After Bible study, the people would go home, and I would come across your show on television. And you know, you're a unique character, you know, we're used to...
That's a nice way to say it.
Well, we're used to the television evangelist, you know, and your
brother,
show would come
bless
on.
You for calling, brother.
Right.
You have cancer here. Let's lay hands.
Right. So, you know, I, at that time, was hanging out with Lester Leonard Summerall, and I would go to his
house. Wait a minute. You were hanging out with Lester Summerall. Now, there's a Lester Summerall who founded LaCie Broadcasting.
Yeah.
And a huge church in South Bend, Indiana. And so that Lester's, now you didn't hang out with
the grandson.
That Lester.
It was the grandson.
The grandson.
Yeah. So I said, Lester, you know, because we'd go into the hospitals and stuff and he'd pray for people and everything. And,
like his grandfather.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in fact, Lester had, the grandfather had three sons who were all involved in the ministry. And Pete Summerall was your friend's dad, and Pete Summerall was the one who put Bob Binyart Live on Nationwide. So that's there was a connection there.
Yeah,
Pete was my boss at LaCie Broadcasting.
Yeah, I never met Pete, I don't think. Okay. Maybe in passing
and
or so.
And he since passed away. The grandfather did, and Pete did.
Right.
Leonard's father, Pete, my boss, passed away.
Yeah. So I told him, hey, Lester, let's go to the studio and I want to meet, you know, this Bob guy. And, you know, he graciously said, yeah, let's go do it. So we went there. You were on the show live.
Yeah, five nights a week.
Right. So we walked in there and there you were at that, you know, classic podium with the eagle statue or whatever it was, and the two fake trees behind you.
Yeah,
and
the set we had, which people who get our BEL televised classics, people still watch that, Tommy. They subscribe, and they get, how many shows a month do they get? They get either 4 or 8 shows a month on DVD, and they're one-hour TV shows calling a lot of fun.
Oh, I'd like to have all those,
oh,
for sure.
Man. Yeah, what a blast.
But, yeah, so we go in, you're on live, And we kind of sit back a little bit and kind of watch it. And after the show, you know, the introduction and everything. And I think we went out to eat afterwards. And
yeah, we used to do that often.
Yeah, so I would also go to like...
And that would be at midnight, 1 a.m.
Yeah, midnight, yeah.
And maybe a dozen of us, 20 of us, we'd go to Nick's Patio in South Bend.
Yeah, I just kept coming back. And you guys would always open the door for me, and I always came. But I always brought a friend with me, like, yeah, kind of every time and stuff. Yeah. So
And do you remember any of the particular episodes or topics when you were there? Because so many funny things happened. A guy was delivering Domino's pizza, mm-hmm, to the floor crew. And he said, oh, I love this show. Can I come? And he came up and he delivered the pizza right on the show live. And so college students around the country began a boycott of Domino's. No, it was Papa John's. You remember that? They began a boycott of Papa John's, started at Notre Dame, went around the country. So that poor guy, he got in trouble.
Oh, jeez.
So a lot of fun things like that.
Yeah. So there was one episode where there was an environmentalist that called in.
Yeah.
And we had this chainsaw sound, you know, because he was worried about the trees. And so me and my friends, we would get behind the stage there, and, you know, as the chainsaw would be sounding,
yeah,
the trees would kind of shake, and then they would drop.
Oh, yeah, you guys were knocking down the trees. And, yeah, another show, the bird, the eagle, got thrown off the set.
yeah.
One show, there was a bug on the desk right before, you remember the show?
Yeah, I remember that one.
Right before we go on the air live, a big bug. I don't know what kind of bug it was now, I forget. And the camera zoomed in, and I said, okay, all you liberals out there who say all life is precious, all life is equally valuable, I want to ransom the life of this bug during this show. Either we're going to kill this bug, or you could call in with a credit card number and ransom this bug's life. So let's see what happened. By the end of the show, we got a lumberjack guy who called in from the Northwest. I forget where he was. And he said, Bob, I gave the call screener my credit card number. He's already run it for $500. I want you to kill that bug. So we killed the bug on the air, squished it, and then he then made out of a big tree he cut down, he made a big bug whacker he mailed into us out of one solid piece of wood. It was fun.
Okay, another funny show, Bob, was Amy's Call, I believe.
That was intense.
She just kept talking, and she was going to report you to Pete Summerall. And, of course, he was your boss.
To the head of the network,
right,
for being unchristian, right? That would happen often.
Yeah.
Tommy, at the end of the show, you know how so many networks, they'll say the views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of LaCie Broadcasting?
Right.
So we switched it, and we said, we changed the text in the box. The views expressed on LaCie Broadcasting are not necessarily those of Bob and Your Life, which was true, by the way.
Right.
So Amy's call, so what happened then?
So she just kept talking. I think you went to a commercial, and she was still talking. So finally, you just kind of took off your mic. You loosened your tie. You kind of threw everything off.
Put my feet up on the desk.
Right. And then finally, you just left the show. So, like, for the last minute or so, it was just her.
We changed the title on the show to Amy's Call.
Right.
That was a funny thing. We did the craziest thing. Now, there was another Amy who called in, and this was intense. She was saying she's not a Christian. And I said to her, when you die, you're going to stand before God on Judgment Day. And she said, well, I'm good enough to go to heaven. I'm good enough. So I said, well, tell me about your life. You're good enough to go to heaven. And so it turns out she's shacking up with some guy. She's young, 20-something. And I said, human beings look at your life, and there's words that describe a woman who sleeps around, you know, and they're ugly words like slut, a tramp. You're not even good in man's eyes, let alone righteous before God. And she got so angry, and she cussed vulgar, terrible, and hung up. So the audience, we had liberal listeners and conservative biblical worldview Christians. The liberals got really angry and said, now she's never going to become a Christian because what you said to her. And I said, well, actually, I think she's way more likely to get saved now that somebody told her the truth, that she needs salvation because she's not good. the Bible says no man's good, no, not one. It might have been a year and a half later, we get a call. We have five lines, and I pick up line three. Hi, you're on Bob and You're Alive. She says, Bob, this is Amy. And Tommy, a chill went down my spine, and so many in the audience too, because we remembered this was Amy. And she said, I've called in to apologize for how vulgar I was. I've become a Christian, and so I'm sorry I said what I did. And we were so thrilled. In fact, we sell that as Amy's call on a DVD on our store, kgov.com. Click on the store. So you hear the first part of the call and then the second call and how glorious it is. And a lot of nicer than God Christians, they lose a lot of opportunity to share the gospel because they don't want to let people know what a desperate situation they're in because of their sin.
Right. And just on that note, too, one of your other best shows was Terry's Call. Because, you know, a lot of people look at the show and be, oh, you're just critical
homosexuality. From Knoxville, Tennessee.
Right.
Terry Johnston.
But when people put things in perspective of what you're really trying to do and who you're trying to reach, Terry's Call is just absolutely perfect for that.
Oh, that was thrilling.
Yeah.
He did. He became a Christian. He started out something like, Bob, I hate you.
Yeah.
And I think, if I recall, I said, well, cool. Because Jesus said, if they hate me, they'll hate you.
Right.
So, this could be the beginning of a good thing. So you hate me. And so it turns out he's a homosexual. I rebuked him for his sin, condemned him for this vile, filthy sin of homosexuality. And I think he hung up, went to a second show he called in. He became a Christian. Remember that?
Yeah.
It was not stunning. And then...
Well, I think there was a little more progression, but eventually he...
I'm shortening it up, right?
Yeah.
You're right. He had broken down, like, in tears practically. But then Tommy, and given the short version, he said after he becomes a Christian, this is maybe a couple weeks later, he can't go to his church because they're all homosexuals at his church. Metropolitan Community Church, whatever. And everyone who knows him, I said to him, Terry, these homosexuals, they don't love you. They're using you. And that's really when he started to recognize the truth of his life. And it turns out, so he became a Christian, and he told us off the air he couldn't go to his church. The homosexuals had used him. Now that he had AIDS, they weren't interested in him. It turns out, remember, he was HIV positive. In fact, he had full-blown AIDS. So Cheryl and I sent him money to come to Denver so he could go to our church. And tragically, he didn't make it all the way.
No, he ended up dying.
In Kansas City, he went into a clinic, and his dying wish was that the director would call the show out in Denver and say, thank you for being the ones who loved me and told me the truth. So I can't wait to meet Terry in heaven.
One of the people that I know that has been critical of your show because of that, I let him watch.
Because of that approach?
Because of the approach, of course.
Yeah.
And so I let him watch the video and, he watched it and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, so would you invite someone who is homosexual, dying of AIDS, would you invite them into your home to stay with you as you did to Terry?
Well, that's right, because he had no money, he had nothing, and he was coming out, and he said, where will I stay? And I talked to Cheryl, and we don't know, but we'll figure it out. So he might have stayed with us. We weren't sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I asked him, would you do that? And I wish I could remember the reply. I would hate to, say it online. But it was either silence or it was no. It was not yes.
Right.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
But I just...
And Tommy, so many homosexuals have come to the Lord through the show over the years.
Yeah.
It's really been thrilling. And all the Christians who say you can't judge, they're the ones who judge us and condemn us.
Oh, how I know.
Yeah, right. It's so, it's just so predictable.
Yeah.
So then we lost track of one another.
Yeah. There's this big gap. So I had a curiosity of what you were doing in Denver, because I know that you had went back there, and I got online. I found you. I emailed you. You emailed back right away. Mm-hmm. And I think you were telling me about you were getting ready to come to Indianapolis for the global flood and the hydroplate theory.
Yes, a seminar. We've done dozens of seminars around the country on many different topics, criminal justice, overview of the Bible, how to live the Christian life, many different science topics, and many of those are available at our store, kgov.com. Click on the store. But, yeah, that was the global flood and hydroplate theory. That's the theory of the fountains of the great deep, that the water for the flood came from below the crust. We were doing that seminar in Indianapolis.
Yeah, so I offered, you know, since I do video production back home, I offered to come out and film that. So me and my wife headed to Indianapolis to film the video.
Yeah.
I reunited with you.
Yes.
And you got to meet my wife.
Yeah. Yeah. Ashley, who runs this incredible Breath of Life Haiti ministry, where this is such a substantive ministry, Tommy. I mean, the Stills family, you guys, homeschool family, you are a restaurateur. You run the Etna Green Cafe. You do all this video production. And Ashley is a midwife and has taught for years now women in Haiti about a healthy, wholesome childbirth experience, pregnancy, the whole thing.
Right. She really is incredible.
And it's all in the context of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what they've done in Haiti is just astounding, and that's a rough place to go.
Oh, tell me about it.
Especially right now. So your wife is a hero. She's awesome.
Oh, she's so incredible, Bob, she does. And just me knowing what she does behind the scenes, truly remarkable.
Yeah, and as homeschool parents, right? Everything else, that would be an amazing accomplishment for anyone. Plus your beautiful family in raising your kids with a Christian education. It's all awesome. So that video, Tommy, the global flood and the hydroplate theory, that was our first full-length science video. And it's one of the things that helped Real Science Radio really get a place on the map. Because people around the country and internationally tune in each Friday to hear Real Science Radio, and our YouTube channel is growing with our Real Science Radio playlist, so thanks for all of that.
It was wonderful being part of that video and the information that was packed in there. So when you actually go and talk to people about the subject or, you know, I think we went to the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter. So when you encounter different types of views, that information, you know, pops up in your mind and you're able to...
You could test whether somebody's ideas are valid or not when you have a good understanding of an overview of any topic. Then when you see something that's wrong, you could spot it. Like you took a video in the Creation Museum, a very brief video of the fountains of the great deep. And Tommy, we've done shows on that video. It can't be more than 15 seconds long or so, maybe a half a minute. You remember what it was?
Yeah, it was the Fountains of the Great Magma of the Deep, wasn't
the
it?
The Fountains of Magma of the Great Deep.
Yeah, so yeah. They have this video of, you know, of course, in Walt Brown's theory, it's water that shoots
up. Water that shoots up to flood the earth. That's not only in Walt Brown's theory, that's in the Bible.
Right.
Right? Water came up. The fountains of the great deep flooded the earth.
So their video, they have all the way from, I think, the core of the earth, this magma stream that goes straight up and then it just shoots out kind of like a volcano or something.
Yeah, it was. Okay, their fountains of the great deep, they came from the outer core. You're right, from the core. The outer core of the earth is molten. So they have magma coming up from the outer core through the mantle to the crust. And it becomes fountains of water. And you ask the question on the video, your video, you're like, what are these, the fountains of magma of the great deep? And Tommy, since then, on Real Science Radio, and with the help of Brian Nickel, Fred Williams, and Walt Brown, we have been letting the creation movement know, the people, the thousands, tens of thousands of people in the creation movement, that the movement itself in this area has gone astray, where they actually think that the fountains of the Great Deep were fountains of magma. And the reason they think that is because they reject the fountains of the Great Deep model of the global flood. They reject that it was water that came up from below the crust that flooded the earth. And when you reject that, that's called the hydroplate theory. When you reject that, you have no source for the water that flooded the earth. So they have magma coming up, and that magma raised the ocean levels, and the ocean sloshed up onto the continents. That's pretty much their flood model, which is not accurate. So thank you for that, too. So we did a lot on the global flood and the hydroplate theory together.
So, Bob, then we're down in Turkey Run. We're hanging out with some friends.
Turkey Run State Park in Indiana.
Yeah, we're down there. And I have tons of questions on my phone. You remember I got out my phone and I started asking you all these questions?
Oh, yeah. This was a family camping event. There was a dozen families or more. It was really a great time, a week-long event.
Yeah, so, you know, I had all those questions, but you gave me the plot. So, you know, I took it home and, you know, I read that. And, you know, after, you know, looking online and, you know, doing some research and stuff like that, I was in this bubble that I went to church. I kind of took for granted of what they were saying was true, never questioned anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just kind of got to thinking.
It was a church with a lot of miracles.
Yeah.
And it was tithing, and you got to forgive everybody, and you can't judge, and all those cliches.
Right, yeah.
Is, if I recall from what you told me.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've seen all, like, the demon casting out and all that kind of stuff.
Boy.
You know, I grew up in that charismatic Pentecostal type environment.
And I married a charismatic.
Oh, yeah.
But then Cheryl started coming to our church, which was nice of her. I mean, she didn't have to, but.
Right. So anyway, just putting two and two together, you know, the basic question, why are there so many denominations?
Mm.
You know, why do we disagree on
so many
most simple things like baptism, speaking in tongues, judging?
Yeah.
I mean, just all these different
topics.
Things
like tithing and do you have to keep the law to be saved or, you know, just so many, or even end times issues.
Right.
It's like every major issue is a source of division among denominations.
Right. So I kind of felt like, well, I need to seek the truth. And what does the Bible actually say without my preconceived notion of, you know, what I've been taught all these years, you know, is true or whatever. So I just kind of dug in and, you know, I read the plot and wow, you have a different perspective that I had never even heard of before, and it is right there if you just read
the Bible. It's so fun, right?
Bible.
Because we say, instead of arguing verses about speaking in tongues or whatever, baptism, let's first get an overview of the whole Bible, the plot of the Bible. Once we have a solid grasp on the plot, the story, the account, the historical account of the Bible, then we look at the details. Whereas people do it in the opposite direction, they become experts on particular details when they really have no idea what the whole Bible's about.
Right. They just want a proof text.
Yes.
And to you know, support their view. But, the story of the Bible, it tells a story, and you got to follow
the story. It's a historical account.
Exactly.
And if you ignore that, you're not going to be able to be an expert on the details. You'll be mostly confused.
Right. So that's my question is well, how do we rightly interpret the Bible? I was asking my friend, and he said the Holy Spirit. Well, that doesn't answer the question because why is there so many denominations? Do they not have the Holy Spirit too?
The church across town, who they also love the Lord and they worship him and they pray to him and they share the gospel. They bring their Bibles to church, but their theology is different than yours.
Right.
So they're asking the Holy Spirit too. So that's not the answer. It's not the answer to say, I know my theology is right. Because I asked the Holy Spirit, and he told me, because people who totally disagree on doctrines both say that.
Right. He just threw a lot of people under the bus on that one.
Yes. So, Tommy, of maybe a half a dozen major themes in the plot, which is my life's work, an overview of the Bible is the key to its details. Of the half dozen major observations in the plot, which is My Life's Work, An Overview of the Bible is the Key to Its Details. Tommy, do you want to pick out one thing that made an impact on you?
Well, definitely Matthew 15:24, when Jesus answered and said, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the children of Israel.
Wow.
That really, like, opened my eyes.
He was only sent to Israel.
Right. I was like, well, why did he only come to Israel?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to what I've been taught.
Right. If you're not studying the historical narrative of the Bible, then that's totally confusing, right? So when Jesus died, he died for the sin of the world. And for whether you're Jew or Gentile. But when he came, he was sent only to Israel. That's why he always tried to avoid helping Gentiles whenever they would approach him and ask him for help. He'd say right there, well, I was only sent to Israel. And so his teachings were specifically based on the covenant of circumcision and the Mosaic law. And so then later, as you go through the story of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul comes on the scene, and Jesus says to him, don't teach circumcision. It's like, what? Don't teach the Sabbath. What? Don't teach the dietary law. What? There's all these changes, and if you don't know the story of the Bible, the changes are confusing, and people tend to then ignore major portions of Scripture.
Right, so I thank you for the plot, Bob, and I actually passed the plot on to a friend in Haiti, and he says, thank you, Bob, thank you, Tommy, the plot is my friend.
Oh, isn't that nice? That's a thrill. So then fast forward to, what was our next video that we did together?
Well, we did the evidence against the Big Bang here in Colorado.
That's right, we filmed that together. And wow, Tommy, that, the evidence against the Big Bang is part one. Part two, the Big Bang predictions. And part three, the big evidence for our Creator God. That has really put us in the rankings in Google search results when it comes to Big Bang research. People around the world are searching for, you know, what are the predictions of the Big Bang? They find Real Science Radio number one. We beat out NASA and space.com, Wikipedia, and a large part of it, Tommy, is because of the literally hundreds of hours you put in to this video, Real Science Radio's list of evidence against the Big Bang. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Bob.
You're welcome. And then there was the battle at the palace. Remember that? The debate?
Yeah, the James White debate. Yes, I remember that. Yep.
Yeah, is the future settled or open? What a fascinating, fun time.
Boy, and what a topic to bring up to friends because, I mean, you talk about, if you're driving for like 3 hours, yeah. This is what you want to talk about.
Right, right. In fact, you told me with your brother Jack, you guys driving out here, and you ask people, does God know the entire future? And virtually all Christians say yes, and then you say, can he write a new song? And they say, yes. And you say, well, you realize you just contradicted yourself because if he could write a new song, then that's something new that he didn't know. And, you know, I'm thankful, Tommy, that Christians do answer that correctly. They do say yes. I'm thrilled that they do. But that means that the future is not settled but open because God is eternally and inexhaustibly creative. So what's our next video project? What are we going to do next?
Well, how about the age of the earth?
The age of the earth. That's right up there with what? Maybe one of the top five important science topics for Christians. So, Tommy, if we do the age of the earth video, full-length video, then we've got the Big Bang, the origin of the universe, the global flood explaining why the earth is how it is, and the age of the earth. And the young earth is the cure for atheism. Of all the millions of people who believe the earth is young, not one of them is an atheist, not one, zero. So it really is an exciting topic. Well, you're out of here. You want to work on it?
Let's do it.
Okay. Jack, is he along for it? Will he help?
I think he's still hanging around there. All right, Jack, you good?
All right. Associate producer? Okay. You got to earn that title. All right, Tommy, thank you. What an honor. Please tell Ashley we all said hello. And God bless you guys.